Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to my friends out there in Sector 13. You've been at war with the grumblies of Quadrant 5 forever, for over 800 billion grillion time. Keep up the good fight against those freaks. They carry water buffalo cannon. They live in the swamp. They eat the old crocodile meal. They grind it up into a paste. So be careful, buddy. All you heroes out there in Sector 13. Good morning to the starshine babies. Good morning to the hippie masters. Good morning to those boomers making themselves egg white eggs because a doctor told them to, right? It is Saturday, February the 15th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. And I have one question for you to start out with. Where is Chuck Norris now? Where is Chuck Norris? Where has he been spotted? He's in his 80s. He looks really, really good. Where is Chuck Norris? We really could use you to fight off the cartels, to go straight into hell with your kung fu hands and your kung fu life. You could be our kung fu daddy, Chuck Norris, but no, he bought a ranch in Baja where he raises emu and water buffalo. Chuck Norris is chasing tail while sailing his ship, the Mother Maggie, around the tip, just the tip of Africa. Her sleek lines shine as the waves part, and his broken heart is opened up to fishy love cycles and seaweed getaways. Oh, Chuck Norris. Oh, Chuck Norris. Share your wisdom. Teach us the old ways so we can survive. Chuck Norris, tell us about your energy routine. Do you dunk yourself in a tank of water that's at 38 degrees every morning? Do you take that weird methylene blue stuff that RFK Jr. does? Looks fishy to me. What are you doing, Chuck? You drinking human blood? You chewing the cud of this existential wasteland? You going down south, way down the Mexico way, getting them drugs at La Farmacia? Where are you, Chuck Norris, when we need you? It's hard to say. I think Chuck Norris is out there right now fighting the battles we need fought, right? Next topic. Oh, here's a headline. Eruption in bleach bit, wipe hard drive, offshore bank searches in D.C. suggest deep state panic. It would be awful if someone, whatever, anyways. This is categorized under popping smoke. I don't want to talk about Trump can't do's and Trump miracles. We beat that dead horse in December. But I will bring up popping smoke stuff because right now I think that's happening. Also, we got to live our lives. But this stuff that they're throwing at us, even if it were true, it doesn't matter. It's deliberate. It's on purpose. It is, in the best case scenario, the equivalent of setting fire to the restaurant at the end. That's what's going on. This bonfire of vanity bullshit. If you want to believe that the good guys are winning, I understand. But it's probably not true. So I selected something from a social media site. You can guess which one. And it was a post by James O'Keefe. You will know him as that stalwart journalist of the Obama years, you know, finding the truth for us, like all the other approved of sheepdogs. And before we get too deep into this post, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Real fakers, actual fakers, don't get throttled. They don't get curated. They don't get limited. If they want to have 100 sock puppets at some U.S. Air Force facility outside of Vegas running software where one airman can be a whole bunch of different hobos, they can do what they want. They can take their Fed bucks and donate to you. Let's say you have a podcast and you say, well, Dan, they have to be real if they give you $20. No, they don't. No, they just need the Amex card, the Federal Reserve Amex card that your little troll people at your troll farm, someplace outside of Vegas or maybe LA or maybe down in Florida way, but wherever you are, I know who you are. Okay? Real fakers don't get limited. Real fakers are going to be focused on because they have a job to do. Right now, they need to produce smoke. So let me read you some smoke. Congrats to RFK Jr. More hiking, no more seed oils, no more red 40. What a time to be alive. Mayhem, make America healthy again. Oh, yeah. The number one culprit that will probably destroy most of the people you know, the most likely number one culprit, it's not the COVID, it's not any kind of monkey herpes, it's not the bird flu, it's not a UFO or Batman, it's probably not Bigfoot, although I'm working on a story about that right now. The number one thing that is likely to kill you and your family in the next year or two, and probably more importantly, almost everybody you know, is famine. And famine is already creeping around the world. And the number one culprit for this famine is a guy by the name of Norman Borlaug, someone who won the Nobel Peace Prize for revolutionizing agriculture. But in reality, what we've done is what the Soviets did at the end. What we've done is we've managed to take a whole bunch of topsoil and ship it to the Gulf of Mexico. Oh yeah, now it's the Gulf of America. It should really be called the Gulf of Topsoil. What Norman Borlaug did is introduce a nutrient famine. That's what came first. These foods we eat, to include the meat, the cow, the chicken, the pig, because they're eating the same fucking dreck that we're not supposed to eat. You understand what I'm saying? So what came first was the nutrient famine. What came first was the diabetes and the cancer and the heart disease. And then what is really coming, and it's not too far away, will be the actual famine that hits Rome. And I don't mean Rome, Italy. I mean that figurative Rome, which is the whole United States of America. And if you're a prepper and tell me, well, Dan, I'm off the grids and I'm growing my... Yeah, I know. Unless you're hydroponically growing your food in a greenhouse and filtering your air down to the nanoscale and filtering your water basically the same way, unless you're controlling for every input, you're eating the same microplastic garbage food as everybody else. And if you want to know where it's coming from, just look up to the fucking sky. Okay, it's not too late to use your fucking common sense. Part of the smoke is telling the truth. This microplastic thing is probably them telling the truth. Now, that they're not going to tell the whole truth, I tell you that much, because, well, there's still some time left in their game. So no, they're not going to dump that much truth on you, but they're going to dump a lot of truth on you, and the microplastic thing is part of it. Soon you're going to find out why the snow sublimated away. Dan, there was so much snow in the mountains this last February, but now it's all gone. The rivers didn't do much. I know they didn't. Everywhere I've been the last few years, the rivers don't really react to all that fucking snow. The reason why is most of it, not all of it, but most of it's just sublimating away. What do you think that is? Do you remember those Christmas songs when we were kids about old snow melting? No, it was sublimating. No, I'm sure they're going to rewrite the songs. Wherever you hear the word melt, they'll replace it with sublimate. But, you know, artificial snow, chemically nucleated snow, it does sublimate. Yeah, as far as the seed oils go and that stuff, here's the deal. A time is coming in the not-too-distant future, probably only months away, where the seed oils and the cricket powder and all the other worms and bugs and gross things you can imagine you never would eat, you'll wish you had. You'll wish you had those things because your kids will go to bed hungry and they'll wake up hungry and you'll wish you had every Dorito and every disgusting red number 40. Because as terrible as these poisons are, the thing that probably is going to kill me, kill a lot of the people you know, is having no food at all. And here's the fun part about famines. You don't die immediately. What you do is you get to a point where you go crazy. And then for a week or two, maybe you're eating people. Maybe you're making a choice to become a cannibal. This is the thing, folks. You believe the worst is behind you, and I'm telling you they're popping smoke. Next topic, because it's not helpful to dwell. Potemkin jobs. Do you know what a Potemkin job is? Well, a Potemkin job is a fake job. I believe I had a Potemkin job in 2022. And here are my reasons. Number one, my resume is shit. Number two, I was being paid, before taxes, roughly $12,000 every month. Yeah, number two. Number three, it was all virtual, which means it was remote. And there was no way to be sure the people I was talking to and all the group chats and whatnot, there was no way of knowing if these were real people. Everything was over the phone audio. Very seldom were there these video calls. Mostly those didn't happen. Now, me personally, for lots of reasons, including health reasons I don't want to go into, because I had some spooky illness in 2022. I don't know what it was. It was before I broke my arm, and it was weird. Don't want to go into it. You know, I think I have my own theories. If you need to believe it's bio labs, I get it. I just look up at the sky and realize they're poisoning us. I mean, the Occam's razor tells me that if the kids are coughing and they've been producing the gumbus for the snow, it's probably not COVID, but it could very well be the shit they're spraying. Anyways, I think I had a Potemkin job. Now, this refers to the idea of a Potemkin village. A Potemkin village is a fake village. These were the little villages that Catherine the Great would set up when European people would come to see Russia, Mother Russia. She would have special peasants in nice clothes, houses nice, along the river, see the Potemkin village. But it's fake. It's fake as fuck. I think a lot of jobs are being generated right now. And it's been weird because last year and the year before, it was crickets. I have been posting my resume since I moved to Port Angeles. And usually when I post my resume, I have interviews within at least a couple weeks. I have been posting my resume, and again, my latest one is on purpose, deliberately stupid. But I had posted my previous, you know, professional resume, as professional as it is, and I would still, in a quote-unquote live job market, get all kinds of pings. Last year was dead. And then all of a sudden, this last, you know, December, January, it's like all these crazy jobs are coming into existence. And you can make $100 an hour from home, you know? And I think it's fake. I think it's more of this popping smoke. You know, be careful. Although, on the other hand, why not take a job like that? At this point, why not? I mean, I'm not trying to tell you to participate in evil, but you live on the Death Star. Whether you like it or not, no matter what kind of an organic prepper you are, you're still living on the Death Star. You're participating in evil. Accept it. I've accepted it. If you don't accept it, then you better do something about it, and it's not voting. Okay? It's not voting. So either you accept it or not. But listen, if you need to feed your family, these Potemkin jobs might be a great way of doing it. And if you're really clever in this faker world, and it is a faker world, it's kind of like that question mark. Before we move on, I brought this up about a week ago when I was talking about that estimate of how much of the world economy is fraud, is scamming. And it's, to me, another way of looking at it, it's either 100% or zero, right? You know, a few years ago, I called the U.S. economy a Schrodinger economy. Because depending upon how you observed it, the value of the U.S. economy was either infinite, zero, or potentially negative. Because negative means stuff they hid. Negative means tire fires burning towards nuclear waste underground, underneath your city. It means bridges and roads that fall apart. Negative means little time bombs that the shitty government left behind, and you don't even know about them yet. So in reality, the value could be negative. That's something a lot of people don't get. They want to pretend, well, I get the zero or infinity, Dan, but what do you mean by negative? It's like the debt. People look at the debt as a thing. I'm going to tell you something right now. The debt is probably bullshit. The reality is the real debt is the damage. And there's been a lot of damage. The real debt is the misallocation of resources. They can print a shit ton of money. They can't really print resources. That's the debt. It's every toxic fucking river. It's every lake that no longer has fish in it. It's every time your kids start coughing when they start spraying. That's part of the fucking debt. Oh yeah, the microplastics in your body. That's part of the debt. The real debt. The debt that is not going to be so easy to like get rid of. It's quite easy to play pretend and be Mr. Orange King. But the real debt, they're not going to do nothing about, baby. Because it's over. Next topic. Oh, so Zero Hedge is telling us absolutely that now Trump is Gandhi. Trump is Cyrus the Great. Trump is Moses. Trump is Gandhi. When is somebody going to say Trump is actually Jesus? Because I think someone must have already. Some atheist fuck, some Satanist, somebody working, you know, as part of the team probably already said, I think Trump is basically Jesus. What the fuck? Jesus. And of course, there's more subtlety to the Zero Hedge article, but these names get thrown in there. Gandhi, Cyrus the Great, Moses. Donald Trump is a grifter. Donald Trump has always been a grifter. I don't even know who the guy is. He could be a real person who grifts. He could be a fake person, which is basically two levels of a grift. I have no idea. What I can tell you is he's not here to save you, and he's probably not here to be Hitler. I believe with a lot of certainty at this point, about 90%, that his purpose is to be just like the COVID, just like the BLM Antifa, just like the fucking bullshit Ukraine war and whatever atrocity has been happening in Gaza. That on one level, there probably is evil being done, but on another level, his purpose is to confuse and to baffle. His purpose is to be smoke. That's it. He's a giant plume of smoke. And the question you have to ask is, what the fuck is he hiding? Because something is going to crawl out of that smoke, that disorder. Something is going to come out of it. And I don't think it's going to be a surprise party. I don't think it's going to be aliens teaching us how to do, you know, magical cures for cancer or to have supernatural sex. I don't think it's going to be robot AIs bringing us into a new renaissance. Something is going to crawl out of that smoke, folks. We'll see. Next topic. Oh, yeah. So there's this thing about Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin reportedly plans to cut 10% of the workforce. So I'm not going to go into anything specific, but I probably may have met somebody once who works for Blue Origin. I don't know who this person is beyond that. I don't want to comment. At the time, I thought it was weird that somebody who would work for Blue Origin would, you know, be listening to my podcast, but maybe it's not weird. I don't know. A lot of things happened in 2019 that in retrospect look different to me. When you think of a frontier, what do you think of? I mean, think about the oceans, the Atlantic Ocean, 500 to 600 years ago. Before Columbus sailed the ocean sea, maybe even before the Vikings did, so further back. But the point is, imagine crossing the Atlantic hundreds of years ago. That was kind of a frontier that led to another frontier. It was dangerous. People died. A lot of people died. A lot of poor people died. A lot of slaves died crossing the Atlantic. And when you think about frontiers, there's a lot of blood there. A lot of people die. A lot of people try. A lot of mass graves. That's how frontiers generally work. And then there's space. And they got bodies. Believe me, they got dead bodies. Look into Apollo 1 if you know you know. They have dead bodies. Look at the space shuttle crashes. Remember 1986? What is it, the Challenger disaster or something? What, there was another one in 2003? It's horrible. Or whatever. It's all really quite terrible. And on another level, when I think about space, it doesn't match a frontier. Since 1961, fewer than 700 people have been to quote-unquote space. When that team won the XPRIZE in 2003, I think, or four, Virgin Galactic was telling people, we're going to be flying people to space in a couple years. It's been more than 20 fucking years. And now this story about Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin is going to cut the workforce, and it's just, it doesn't make sense. And the explanation is, oh, but SpaceX is going to take over. That's also not really how frontiers work. Not really. It's not like one person, one organization. It's not like one person ends up building all the ships that cross the Atlantic. That doesn't make any sense. But the way that this article is being framed, it's like, well, this is normal because, you know, Musk, right? Elon Musk and SpaceX and Trump. It doesn't make any sense. If space is legit, if it's really a frontier, if there are asteroids that are 100% gold floating out there, and it's so easy to get there, and believe me, the way that Elon Musk and SpaceX promotes its videos of its rockets landing and whatnot, they want you to believe it's going to be so easy. But again, fewer than 700 people, unique people, have been to space since 1961. It's not much of a going concern. It doesn't match a frontier. Next topic. And I don't mind beating up on space bullshit because I think it's a waste of people's time. Oh boy. So there was a little bit of controversy. I don't know if it's really recent, but there's this William Shatner post on social media. For those Star Wars fans who are trying to tell me Disney ruined everything, I assume you're referring to Mara Jade. Hamill actually ruined it for you when he revealed Luke was gay. Mara being struck from Star Wars canon was part of her annulment agreement from the Force. Whatever. Star Wars, the entire Star Wars canon, the whole Star Wars is gay. It's gay. Gay in the sense of not homosexual, gay in the sense of stupid. I used to like it. I think I got suckered by, you know, episode 4, right? It was a great film. And then, frankly, you know, Empire Strikes Back was probably a better film. But then there was Return of the Jedi. And then you thought, okay, at least we have closure, right? With Return of the Jedi, I assumed we had closure. Now there's space for other stories, other storytellers. It's not just going to be Star Wars. But all it's really been for the last few fucking decades is Star Wars. There was a brief respite between 83 and the year 1997 Bo Blimpdoc, but then they redigitized and added new characters to the old film. Talk about Soviet fucking bullshit. You remember that? 1997? They reissued the Star Wars, but they made them better. They added scenes. Now they digitized in creatures that didn't exist before, whatever. Oh, because we wanted to do it. I know. I know, you wanted to do it, you didn't do it, so now you're going to re-edit the film. I get it. We had a brief respite, okay, for a little more than a decade, and then all it is Star Wars. And that's not the only genre. There's the whole Marvel superhero thing. There's not enough oxygen in the room to hear other stories, and that's not accidental. It's all gay. It's all kind of stupid. It's exactly what Nietzsche predicted. When a civilization is in decline, it can't help but do this stupid shit. Because if you allow people to conceive of new stories, then all of a sudden, people might not be that easy to control. So you better have just a few narratives, a few stories, so somehow, in their head and your head, Putin can be a dark Sarth Dith Lord or something. Oh, but Putin's like that Sith Lord. He's like Dark Force. You can take the really fucking stupid stories and you can wrap them around the enemy of the weak. That's why you have to do this. You can take the narratives and you can wrap them around the enemy and the hero of the weak. Next topic. And then, man, of the week, W-E-E-K, but also W-E-A-K, if you know, you know. Oh, here's another headline. SpaceX to switch capsules to bring two stranded astronauts back to Earth sooner. So this is a story that's been percolating for a while. This popped up on Wednesday the 12th, and I thought to myself, they've been up there a while, before the election, right? And now they're going to get back in the future, here in a while, right? Couple weeks, right? But it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's kind of like if you said to me in the year 1985, I was 15 years old, and you said, Dan, in the year 2025, 40 years in the future, 40 years in the future, 40 years of technology and advancement, 40 years of the Fukuyama bullshit and the singularity theory historicism, if you know, you know. 40 fucking years, okay? And if you told me in 1985 that people would be getting really, really fucking excited about rocket ships that look like rocket ships from the 1950s movies, and really, really excited about bringing down two astronauts from space, if you told me in 1985 and said, well, we haven't been back to the moon, no. Nobody, no, we don't need to go back to the moon. We haven't been to Mars, no. We're still being promised every couple years that everybody gets to go to space soon, yeah. But it's going to cost you $250,000 to go up about 50 miles. Because, by the way, that's what Shatner did. He didn't go into orbit. I think he went up about 50 to 60 miles. Who knows what you see at 50 to 60 miles? What I can tell you is if it costs $250,000, how can I frame this? That works better than the Masons. Which means the set of people you have to manage who have been to space is a highly reduced set. Not a very big cardinality. Probably not that much bigger than the 700 who've been there so far, right? Or less than 700. Wake me when we get to 10,000 unique people of space. Wake me then. Dan, you're being wrong about space. I know, because you need it. A lot of people need this stuff right now. Which I get. I get it. I totally, totally, totally get it. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Ad Astra basically said space is the Vietnam War. What if they secretly told us in a silly fucking movie? What if they secretly told us in a remake of Apocalypse Now? What if space is the Vietnam War? And how did that turn out before? It's a dumb way to put it, maybe, I don't know, silly, but think on it. The movie Ad Astra is terrible. I actually did a podcast with a friend of mine. I think we did it back in 2020, about the film Ad Astra, and it's a terrible film. It is an absolute, almost scene-for-scene, copy-paste remake of Apocalypse Now, but what's worse is there's no creativity. So you have these weird pirates on the moon fighting each other, and it makes no sense. Oh, but those are the rebel armies. Oh, you mean like Star Wars? let's wrap ourselves in that one. The Vietnam War, from the United States' perspective, was a failure. It was. It was a failure. We lost the war. The North Vietnamese did unify Vietnam. Sure, they were communists, but hey, spoiler alert, Ho Chi Minh was our guy first. Like, we supported him during World War II. We convinced him that he had a right to fight for his freedom. At the time, we wanted him to point his guns at the Japanese. And then when the war ended, we were all shocked, shocked, shocked that he pointed his, you know, his guns at the French. And then there was Diem Ben Phu. And then we took over. Space is kind of like that too. You know, there was Von Braun and other evil shitheads working for the Nazis during World War II who worked on space. And, you know, kind of like the French, you know, space kind of worked out a little for them. They certainly thought they got close to an intercontinental ballistic missile. Some people think they did. They might have built the first ICBM if World War II had lasted another 5 years. Who knows? But then they came on board with us, just like, okay, okay, you're garbage. We'll take it over, just like Vietnam. And then we've been doing the Vietnam dance with space for a long, long time. If you had told me in 1985 that we had not been to Mars yet with people, I don't mean with robots or cameras. Frankly, I don't know why we don't have live 24-hour, whatever, 24/7 cameras on the moon at this point. We should. It should be that cheap. Based upon what everyone's saying, it should be that cheap, but we don't. So it's weird, but we don't have to think about it. Space is kind of like Vietnam in the sense it looks like a fucking failure. Next topic. Dan, you can't say that about outer space. I can and I will. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. But I'm going to drink some coffee first, if that's okay with you. But here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Collapse is what fixes everything at this point, Dr. Freckles. And we've had this conversation, brothers and sisters. We have. We've talked to each other about it. Dan, what's going to fix the IRS and what's going to fix the CIA? What's going to stop the geoengineering? You know, a lot of you want to call it chemtrails. I kind of get Dane Wigington's point. Calling it chemtrails is kind of what the CIA wants you to do. What's going to fix all this stuff? And all I can tell you at this point, what's going to fix that and the public schools and the roads and everything is collapse. Okay, whatever happens after is going to be when you're going to have the chance to fix it. But up until the point of collapse, it's going to be the same stupid shit. Now, if you want to fall for the Doge Commission and the belief that Elon Musk is going to turn America into a big Cybertruck, if you want to believe that, I get it. Especially if you have kids. Especially if you have a family. Especially if you want to maintain any type of social relations at this point. You're either going to say Trump is Hitler or Trump is your savior. But the thing you will not say, because you can't say, because it's too hard to say, is Trump is the thing they're using to hide something else. That's actually scary. I stick to my prediction 10 years ago. Best case scenario, and I don't want to talk about the worst cases, but the best case scenario at this point is worldwide economic collapse, crack up. And if you're asking when all these things get fixed, they don't. They're the reason why we got here. You don't fix this garbage. And brothers and sisters, only morons try to drain a swamp. As I've said before, swamps serve a purpose. A swamp is technically a wetland. It is doing what it's supposed to do. If you're a moron, you buy swampland. It used to be a joke, right? To buy swampland. You don't build on a swamp. You don't drain swamps. You don't really do anything to swamps. Just leave them alone. If you think Trump's going to drain the swamp, you're crazy. But you need that kind of crazy, don't you? And if you think Trump is literally Hitler and that somehow this next election will fix everything, you're also fucking crazy. Collapse at this point is the only thing that fixes everything. And you don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. But that's pretty much the deal. Oh, but Dan, they're going to collapse themselves into a reset. I know, Puddle Flower, I know. They'll collapse themselves into a reset. But what does that really look like? Because at this point, the reset looks more like them going someplace for about a couple hundred years and then returning to count the bones. That's what the reset looks like. If you think it looks like everybody connected to a cyber tube and somehow they got fusion energy, but they need us as batteries, you're deeply polluted in your head. You're broken. You have lots of microplastic, buddy. They don't need us, according to your logic. You see, these are the edgelords. Well, Dan, the AI's already running things. The super biotechnology, the complete network, I get it. And then the next day you tell me, you tell me that they need us as part of that. Well, they don't. If they have fusion energy, they don't need us. If they have all that data, they don't need us. And as far as DNA goes, they got a shit ton of all they need. They still don't know, they still really don't know how to break down junk DNA. Spoiler alert. They don't need you, they don't need me. If your bullshit that you spout about the reset is true, then logically the reset isn't what you think it is. Okay, they don't even need 20% of us. They probably only need 10 to 15 million. I mean, honestly, it's hard to say. If you're building a complex in Antarctica and you have a 60-year head start, then first you could probably build something pretty big. And when you look at all the money that's missing, it's probably gigantic. So yeah, you probably could fit 10 to 20 million people in whatever sideways satanic complex they have down there. You won't know. You won't find out. Just keep believing Trump's here to save you, though. Now I want you to try this mindfuck. And by the way, one of the themes of today's podcast is be careful of the people you interact with on social media, especially right now. I don't care if it's Twitter or X. I don't care if it's Truth or Social. I don't care if it's Meta or Facefuck or any of the other garbage TikTok. If you're on social media, be careful. If you're using email, be careful. There are a lot of fakers out there. And there's a lot of government grifters, and there's a lot of people that have their sticky fingers in the World Wide Web. I just don't mean social media. I mean the whole damn thing. If you're asking yourself, what does Palantir do? What doesn't it do? But the bottom line is probably the whole network is curated at this point. Probably there's not an email that's sent that isn't reviewed. And sometimes they simply put it into the spam. So it still got sent, but you know, you don't see it. And sometimes the emails just fucking disappear. That's happened to me. I've sent emails to people. I've sat next to people with their laptop open. And I've sent them emails and they never get them. It's weird, right? Let me read you something. Taxation is theft, and the state is not the people, but it is a parasitic elite that feeds and preys upon them, eating their sustenance. Trump is actually working on peace and prosperity for the world. This must distress the military-industrial complex and warlords. They are probably pulling out all their 2025 Bay of Pigs plots. Taxation is theft, the state is not people, but Trump is our hero. Is he parasitic elite? You see, this is a particular poster who I couldn't tell you if he's conservative, Republican, or just a random shithead. But he'll post things that look kind of like anarchism, which is where I'm coming from. Taxation is theft. The state is not people. It is a parasitic elite. But how the fuck is Trump not part of that? How the fuck is Elon Musk not part of that? I mean, I know, it looks like he's bringing peace to the world. I'm not sure that works for Gaza, though. So I don't know. I'm not going to tell you the name of this particular account because I don't really give a fuck. I think it's a faker. It could very well be another U.S. Air Force-run account, a sock puppet just outside of Vegas. Who knows? But what I can tell you is that if you think there's a parasitic elite and you don't believe Trump is part of it, then I can't help you. If you're really a person, not a faker, your brain is broken. And again, rude awakenings are coming. The real question is, and here is the question about the rude awakening. Are events moving fast enough that by the time you figure this shit out, it just won't fucking matter? And the answer is yes. It won't matter. It will not matter. So here's a little bit of Sovietology. Something I noticed about 20 years ago, and isn't it funny the things we are starting to notice? Something I noticed about 20 years ago, and this started with the Sci-Fi Channel, and the show that was obvious, the show that where it was really obvious, was the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. But about 20 years ago, if you looked at outdoor scenes, not just the Sci-Fi Channel, but a whole bunch of other networks following along, if they're doing outside shots, and it includes that show Supernatural, like, they'll say, well, we're in Kansas, and then all of a sudden they'll be pulled up to a slough someplace in, you know, British Columbia. Starting about 20 years ago, a lot of shows were being shot in British Columbia, or Vancouver, and they'd call it Seattle, or they'd call it San Francisco, or they would call it whatever state the Supernatural boys are in, but it's basically British Columbia. And again, you know, I don't really give a fuck. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. British Columbia is a beautiful place. But the question is, didn't we used to have beautiful places here in, like, I don't know, the United States of America? It was weird. Another part of this phenomena was the sky. Like, in almost all these shows, if you looked at the sky, it was gray. And I don't mean cloudy gray like when I was a kid. I mean the schmunged out Gumba sky, which now I see as geoengineering. It was weird. As a kid growing up in Washington State, rain was rain. The clouds were puffy, sometimes gray, sometimes white, but they weren't smeared out over the sky like you're spreading, you know, peanut butter onto toast or something or whatever. Blue skies were actually blue, and I mean deep blue. Deep, deep blue, not the kind of off-white blue, not the hazy bluish, but actually blue. I haven't seen an actual blue sky in 10 years. Not really. I've seen a lot of skies they call clear or clearish or partly cloudy, but I haven't seen an authentic blue sky in at least 10 fucking years, probably longer, if I'm being honest. If I really could dig into my brain, you know, filled with the microplastics, right? I don't think I've seen an honest blue sky in a decade plus. I don't know what it means. I don't believe in the Greta Thunberg bullshit. So, oh, Dan, you're a climate. I think climate change is a mind fuck. I think the global warming stuff, the way it's framed, is a mind fuck. The oldest story in human history is when the building is aflame. Find some poor people to blame. That's the oldest story, folks. Not the oldest, but it's one of them. And friends, when it comes to the scenario, you should think on it. The whole global warming thing is about blaming the weakest people in society, people who are just getting by, people who barely have enough money to feed their family and pay their rent. And they're told every day that they're evil because they're eating the plastic food that came from the Norman Borlaug place that the elite built. Are you following me, brothers and sisters? The Norman Borlaug poison was not accidental. The shit falling out of the sky is not accidental. I don't know what they're hiding. But it isn't climate change, and it isn't global warming, and it probably isn't UFOs. But they're hiding something. So yeah, if you look at a lot of these shows, they're outside shots, you know, a lot of them are in British Columbia. It just makes you wonder why. Makes you think, okay, so if you're on social media, you got to be careful. I cannot explain to you in 30 minutes what you need to look at to figure out if an account is fake. Here are some features you should look at. How old is the account? If the account is really, really, really old, that's one potential indicator. On Twitter, if you have an account that goes back to 2010 and you're an edgelord, quote unquote, then I do look askance because I don't know how you avoided being permanently banned. I just talked about my grief in 2012 for a few hours, my grief over a loved one, just a little bit, and I was banned from Twitter. So I don't really get that. Another thing to look at is how many posts they have. Like, there's this one person that started following me called Shutori. Again, I built some sock puppets to do some experiments on Twitter. I don't give a fuck. This particular person has zero posts and has followed 223 people. Zero people following them, but they just followed me. And this other one, I can't read the Chinese, but it's the same deal, like one follower or no followers, no posts, following 172. There's a medic account. You know, I talk a lot about cartoon soldiers, but I also talk about Twitter nurses. There's a particular Twitter account that reminds me of accounts that were on Twitter in 2020 telling people to get on the fucking ventilator. Yeah, scaring the shit out of people. But one particular type of faker account falls under the general category of what I would call the Humbletons. The Humbletons live in a shack. The Humbletons have a dog out back. The Humbletons have three kids and they homeschool. The Humbletons say all the right things and they're totally, totally cool. They don't have any means of verification. You know, when I create a sock puppet, there's usually one or more links that allow you to figure out who I am, unless you're really lazy and stupid. But these are accounts that you have no means to verify. You can't verify against an email. There's no way you're ever going to call these people. And that's fine. I don't give a fuck if people want to be private. That's their business. But if you're out there asking for money and there's no way for people to verify who you are other than a DM. Oh, but I direct message. We DM'd each other. Yeah. They do that at the U.S. Air Force troll farm too. So if you have no means to verify somebody, no means, no effective means other than on Twitter or Facebook, Facebook, TikTok. If that's your only means of knowing a person is real, my advice is don't give them money. I tell my own listeners, if you don't think I'm real, don't give me money. Okay, right now, I don't know anybody who has so much extra money that they're handing it out. I don't. And as far as my podcast goes, donations have virtually dried up. And they've really been bottom bouncing since 2020 anyways. I'm sure that's random. But anyways, yeah. Don't give them any money. I don't know if you feel rich right now because you just got a Potemkin job and you just sold your house for 50 boblillion. I don't know if you're real or fake. But if you're a real person, like most of the people I know, you don't have any extra money. Next topic. And that really is the last topic for today. I don't really want to talk more about this. I created some sock puppet accounts because I got bored. And also, part of it is understanding what Popping Smoke is. When I talked about it in 2020, I have one podcast called Popping Smoke, but I talk about it in 2020 in other podcasts, and I talked about it off and on since then, as you well know if you listen to my podcast. And when it comes to Popping Smoke, one of the features of Popping Smoke is that they open up the gates of the prison. They let the prisoners out. You know, it's Bastille Day, and everybody gets out. Everybody gets free. Everybody gets to go. It's not just that they dump truth on you. They're going to do that. They've been doing that. I think they have been dumping truth on you. And you guys say, well, Dan, isn't that good news? And fuck, I'll tell you what I told you on January the 10th, 2020. When that happens, and when it feels like it's a flood of truth and good news, and everyone's free, and everybody can create 70 sock puppets on Twitter, because I think that if I get up to 20 sock puppets, I think I'm going to tell you, yeah, you got about 60 to 90 days. It's counterintuitive. It feels like I'm raining on people's parade. But at least I staked myself to this years ago. This is not something I just came up with. This is not a new theory. I told you that one of the signs that Boblimptalk was almost over is it looks like, oh my God, it's Jubilee, Dan. I mean, we're going to go to Mars and we're all going to have electric fancy cars and robots will make our meals for us. It's going to be amazing, Dan. Look at all the freedom. They're going to tell the truth about JFK. Finally. Oh, they're going to put those people in jail. By the way, the flood of promises indicates that we're really close. Because when you're flooding the system with this many promises, I don't know how to phrase it, you're setting yourself up for probably a plague of madness due to cognitive dissonance. Because sometime in that April-May timeframe, people will figure out that these are just promises, that none of this is meant. Oh, but did you see they took 50 people and moved them 200 miles, and now they're taking care of the illegals. Okay, fine. But they say there's between 10 and 20 million. So how many decades is it? No, excuse me, centuries is it going to take at this rate? It's kind of absurd. It's really dumb. But it can only last so long. That's the thing. Bo Blimp Doc could definitely last a little bit because they had all kinds of bullshit to dump on you. But the thing about this popping smoke, it only works so long. And you kind of have to time it. You don't want to pop smoke too early. This is a well-known tactical thing. You have to time the popping smoke to cover the thing right before it gets here. So yeah. If you like my podcast, you can donate to it. I am trying to switch to mainly fiction, but that's been a process. I'm a little bit out of it. I don't care. I haven't really been sick or not sick. I have been breathing in the same garbage that everyone else breathes in. It is definitely being pumped up with the desiccant as far as like the nucleation, because the air is so fucking dry here. I mean, I know we're only at sea level here in Washington State, on the edge of a rainforest. That's sarcasm, but the air is so fucking dry right now. And yeah, the snow kind of melts. There was a little bit of melted ice today, but mostly it's just disappearing, which means it's sublimating. It's weird. But yeah, if you want to donate to my shitty podcast, I don't give a fuck. All five of you, one of you, maybe there's never, ever been anybody listening. You know? By the way, when it comes to the previous topic about outdoor shots, British Columbia, that's a really good technique for figuring out fakers in real life. I don't mean the online fakers. At this point, I know how to deal with them. Email, social media. I get all kinds of messages in my email. I'm turning it into my own kind of special fun. But when it comes to fakers in real life, people you meet, actual people, a great way to sort it out is to know something about where they're from and then have a conversation. Like, I'll run into people who say, oh, I grew up in Washington State too, but Dan, I remember the firestorms and the Gumbus guys and, you know, and the grain of the seashores. Yeah, I know you do, man, but you don't. Anyways, I ask a series of questions and then I find out if they're real. You still may end up interacting with these people and you might have to be polite. I don't know. I don't have to tell you. It's not easy, but there are topics you can bring up with people to sort of grok out if they're playing a role, if they're being paid, if they're a paid actor. These people exist. I've run into them. I've run into too many of them. And it's not because I'm special, but because this is the state of the game, folks. This is what Soviet decline looks like. Anyways, off topic, if you want to donate to my podcast, you can. I don't give a fuck if you do or you don't. If you're a U.S. Air Force CIA spook shithead, why don't you give me a grand? Nobody hears my voice. Nobody's out there listening. I get emails from people say, oh, keep it up, Dan. But how do I know, right? How do I really know? If you're insulted by this, don't be. This was on purpose. This was engineered. The type of paranoia we are all experiencing was by design. And it could be just the outcome of a shitty neo-Stalinist hellhole imploding. And it could be a sign of the times. If you know, you know. It's hard to say. But between the COVID and the Trump and the Putin drag queen story time, just about everybody I know outside of the internet is divided. And not talking, and not communicating, and not really interacting. Yeah, put them on Facebook, and they're doing the narrative. They're doing the hokey pokey. They are, Simon says. But in the world, in nature, in real life, IRL, people are just not normal right now. This was on purpose. This was by design. So you can donate if you want to. I don't give a fuck. But before you do, listen to this. If you don't have any money, you don't have any money to donate. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you give money to a humbleton or a random shithead on the internet, take care of the things you need to take care of in your life. If there are real people you know are real, and I can't tell you how to do that, maybe it's someone you've known all your life, maybe it's someone you met recently, but you're pretty certain they're real and you've met them in real life, help them first. Help them first. Help them first, because that's going to be one of your keys to success once Boblimp Doc ends and Grinkin' Time arrives. That's social capital, so help them first. If you've set aside food because you think a famine is coming, 6 months worth because you're an optimist and you have a dog, a cat, a rat, or a bat, make sure you're thinking about your pet too, unless your plan is to eat your pet. And last but not least, yeah, things are gonna get really fucking crazy soon. Maybe so crazy you'll think it's the end of the world, and it's not. The most important thing you can do right now, the most important thing you can do, more important than being able to run 2 miles in 10 minutes, more important than having a great shot group, more important than keeping up with your best friends on YouTube cooking a fucking pizza in a stump. The most important thing any of us can do right now is keep our heads, because they are doing everything they can to drive us crazy. And when things really do slip, when it starts being real, because Boblimp Doc is fake. Boblimp Doc is a name for a series of strategic military psychological warfare campaigns that had the purpose to hide a fuzzy event. But I think the fuzzy event's knocking on the door. That's why they're popping smoke. But even with all that, I could be wrong, and I hope I am, and even with all that, it's still not the end of the world. Keep your head. Right now, there are still things you can do to look out for your brain, for your spirit, for your morale, and probably the morale of your family. So before you donate any fucking money to me, donate to yourself, to your psyche, to your mental health. Give yourself a fucking break. That's some good advice. Because the time might be very, very close. Maybe it's still a year away. I don't think so. But time is coming when none of us is going to get much of a break until we die. It's going to be hard. Not the end of the world, but it's going to be hard. And perhaps harder than most people can imagine. So, prepare yourself mentally, and one way of doing it is to give yourself a fucking break. And if you've done all those things and you feel like you have immense resources, U.S. Air Force troll farm airman, and you have your Amex Federal Reserve card, you know it's unlimited, then you can donate all you want to. Because despite all that U.S. aid accounting bullshit coming out, the flow of crooked money has not stopped. Do you fucking understand what I'm saying? The flow of crooked money is still flowing. I mean, you can get caught off guard by the Elon Musk roadshow, but the fact is the crooked money is still flowing. They may have diverted the flows and changed them a little, but that U.S. airman at that troll farm, they still have that credit card. So be careful out there. But if you are one of those fucks, ask me if I fucking care. Just give me all you got. It's Saturday, February 15th, day after Valentine's, 2025. Did you fall in love? Did you treat her to that rubber glove? When you got home last night and you showed her a big old gross pack of Trojan condoms and that was her Valentine's gift, did she get angry? Did she slap you across the face? Did you give her a vacuum cleaner? Did you buy dog food for the dog and call it Valentine's? You know, it's funny. Things are so broken right now, and money is so tight that a bag of dog food might actually be a Valentine's Day gift. Yeah, I don't know. It's Saturday, February the 15th, 2025. I hope you guys have a great weekend. It is not the end of the world. Shit is about to get more real than most people are prepared for. I don't know if it's 3 months away or still a year away. I just don't know. And maybe, and I hope I'm wrong, maybe Trump is the master dude, the Cirrus the Great, the white hat elite. Yeah, the guy's confused, the guy I quoted. You know, you can't trust a state unless it's being run by Trump, right? That's the translation of those two posts by that idiot, is that you cannot trust this government, but if Trump's in charge, everything's okay. Maybe, and I hope I'm wrong. If I'm not wrong, you've got a few months left of what any of us might want to pretend to call normal. It's not really been normal, whatever that is, for a while. But whatever is left of normality, you've got a few months. So figure out your shit. Don't email me and ask why I didn't say anything, and don't ask me why I'm trying to work on a book. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. I wasn't even sure I was going to do a podcast today. I was pretty certain I just wanted to do my next chapter, work on the chapters, work on the book. You know why? Not because I think I'm a good writer, not because I think it's going to be picked up by Netflix or Amazon.com, but because it's something I want to do. It's something I told myself I could do and I would do. Just like the manifesto, you might not like it, you might think it's crap, but at least it's 83,000 words of crap. I'm writing this book not because there are no other books about Sasquatch wars. There are lots of them out there. I'm writing this book not because, like I said, I think it's going to be a bestseller. I'm writing the book because I'm trying to not give up. And I mean big picture give up. I don't mean because I think I'm going to be a success. I mean that in order for me to survive, I have to have a good reason at this point. And you would think as a Christian that Christ would be the whole reason, and I don't know how to break this to you. Sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes we're not the person we should be. We're the person who we are. And right now, the person I am needs something of this world to work on so that I don't think about what I'm pretty certain is right around the corner, something more horrible than I could imagine, probably something so fucking horrible, people will drop dead from the side of it. So that's why I'm working on the book. It's a distraction. It's psychologically helpful for me. And it doesn't cost me any money to do it. Okay? It's better than sitting around drinking, which is what I've been doing the last few years. And I'm not sure I'm going to put an end to that quite yet. But I do understand it to be a waste of fucking time. I do understand it to be harmful. And it is emblematic of where I'm at. Of where I'm at vis-a-vis the world and everyone else. There's a part of me that wants to believe, and there's a part of me that wants to punch me in the face if I do believe. There's a part of me, and that's the part of me I save for work, where I tell people, I tell young people the things they need to hear. I don't want to lie to them, but I can't really tell them the full truth. Sometimes I accidentally do. A couple times this week, I told too much truth, at least truth from my perspective. And it wasn't about what I think is coming. That would be way too much. It was about just the way the world works. I save what little positive attitude I have for that job. Not because I think it's the best job in the world and not because I think I'm special, but because one thing I can try to not do is let down a bunch of teenagers who, for the most part, if they end up in the room I'm working in, their life already has challenges. They don't need more. They don't need more negativity. So yeah, I suppose I save what little positivity I have for the job for as long as it lasts. Do I expect to be a software engineer again? I don't know. Did you see my most recent resume? Probably not. What's really funny though, is I'm still getting responses from employers. I mean, I put up the worst resume ever, like the kind of resume that should be obvious trolling, and instead, the Potemkin economy is reaching out to me. It's absurd, it's funny, it's silly, it's sad, it's crazy. I posted the worst resume ever, and I'm getting requests for interviews. I didn't get any last year with a normal resume. Now my freak one is attracting all the freaks. But I don't think A has anything to do with B. I think they're going to pump things up as long as they can because that is what you do when you're popping the smoke. Have a great rest of your weekend.